Almost built.
We've almost. Doesn't that mean go? Yeah. All right.
You stay.
Oh, okay. Stay. What's the Spanish word for stay? Okay, good. All right. I didn't catch that, but I'll agree with that one. Thank you, Ricardo. And thank you. It's so good to see everybody. Welcome to church this morning. Happy Easter to all of you. It really is great to see everybody here today. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest, we're very happy that you're here. If you're a member, we're very happy that you're here also as well. Our ushers, I don't know if you heard, they were putting chairs in the back, having to bring in extra chairs earlier on. Just a lot of folks here, and it's really encouraging and great to be together, to worship God together. You can clap for yourselves. Yeah, come on. Vamos. Vamos. We do need to quickly go through one quick thing. You know, the Bible does require that on Easter Sunday, at least one person in the group wear a tie. So I just want to say you're welcome, first of all. And I see my brother Sam actually has one on too. So you guys got two represent, right? Are there any other?
Two garrisons.
Two garrisons. That's right. Yeah, there we go. I think the Bible requires that every garrison man wear a tie, right? Is that? I don't know. We'll have to look that up. Anybody else have a tie on? Anybody? Okay, amen. Well, again, it's not about how you look on the outside that God is looking for. What God is looking for is how our hearts are on the inside, of course. And it is nice to have so many great hearts here together. No, I'm kidding. I was going to make a joke like some of us didn't have good heart, but that's a terrible joke. My wife is shaking her head in the back. She's going to text me right now and be like, don't ever do that. Amen. Now she's nodding. Okay, good. All right. I can read the room. That's right. Yes, today is Easter. Today is the day that the world celebrates the resurrection of Jesus. And the resurrection, as you know, but it's good to be reminded, is a true event. Yeah. It is a true event. It really happened. There are witnesses that saw Jesus actually die, not just go unconscious or not just pass out or not just sleep, but die. His body died, and then they saw him come back to life. A dead body alive again. That's the resurrection. It's true. It actually happened. But it is not just an event, but the resurrection is actually a message as well. It's God trying to tell us something. God is trying to communicate to us about something. And he's trying to... And I lost my place all of a sudden. This message that he's trying to communicate to us is a message of hope. It's a message of inspiration, and it's a message of faith. It's a good message, and that's what he's trying to tell us. So that's what we're going to talk about here for the next few minutes. We're going to explore this message, and I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to actually read a sermon to you this morning. This is actually the first official sermon that was preached after the resurrection. A little bit. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 2. And if we could put up our slides here. Okay. Oh, I can put up the slides. Oh, man, look at that. All right. I'll put up the slides. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2 in just a few minutes. And a little bit of the background here. You know, Jesus has already died, come back to life, spent some time with his guys, his people, the men and women that were his followers, and then leaves and ascends in Acts chapter 1 into heaven, like physically went up into heaven. And then by Acts chapter 2, all of the followers have gathered in Jerusalem, and a series of abnormal events happen. There's loud noises, and they all of a sudden start speaking in all these various languages that they didn't know, they've never studied, but they're speaking multiple languages about the power of God. This is Acts chapter 2. The people there just assumed they were drunk. They looked at these people and thought they've just been having too much wine. And Peter, you know, Peter, one of Jesus's followers, stands up and he talks to the crowd and explains to them what's happening. And this is the sermon I'm going to read to you today so that we can sort of pull open and uncover and look at the messages that God is trying to tell us through this real event. All right? So let's read this. Thank you. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 17. It says, "Then Peter stood up with the 11. He raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." So he's about to explain all the abnormal things that are going on. He says, "These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning." I think that's a funny thing to say, you know. Thank you.
Yes.
Me and Sophia. No, he says, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So this is Peter quoting an Old Testament verse in the book of Joel to teach the people what's happening. And then he goes on and he says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. As you yourself know, this man, Jesus, was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." The resurrection is a message. The message number one is, God says, we go back to my slides, thank you, "I can handle you." Message number one of the resurrection is this: I can handle you. You know, Peter stands up in front of this crowd and he says Jesus was from God and Jesus was accredited by God because of the signs and miracles he did. But he says to the crowd, "You put him to death." But it says, he says, God raised him from the dead. You see, the worst that they could do to Jesus wasn't enough to stop God.
That's right.
And this is the good news. These people blew it. God came to earth in the form of Jesus, helped people, loved people, and they killed him. And they killed him. But what did God do? God raised him from the dead. This is good news because these people blew it and God says, "Sorry, I'm bigger than you. I can handle you. I can handle you." This is a message of hope because they killed Jesus and God is saying, "I'm bigger than your biggest error. I am bigger than your biggest sin." Today, you know, we have all sorts of problems. And God is still bigger than our biggest problem.
Amen.
He's bigger than our biggest worries. He's bigger than our biggest concerns. He's bigger than our biggest failures. He's bigger than our biggest mistakes. God's message through the resurrection is this: I can handle you. I can handle you. I can handle you when you're at your worst. You know, I don't know about you, but Sometimes I blow it and I embarrass myself. I was going for a walk in my neighborhood recently, and I live near a couple schools, and as I was walking by one of the schools, a couple young girls came out, students from school, obviously, and they were waving. They're like, hi, hi. And I just interpreted it as they were sarcastically waving at the middle-aged guy walking by. Like, I didn't know these people. And these girls, hi, hello. And so I, you know, being a good Christian, I responded equally as sarcastically. I was like, hey, hey, what's up? How's it going? And it was right after that moment I realized there was a car sitting there and they were actually waving to their friends. And it actually didn't involve me whatsoever. And I was immediately embarrassed. Right? As I should be. Right, honey? Yes? She's nodding in the room. The worst part about it was, is I wasn't walking away from them. I was actually walking toward them. And so I walked right past the car, right past them. And, you know, it's like, hey, hey. I was just like, how embarrassing is that? But the truth is, our life is full of mistakes. Our life is full of errors, things that we do that are way much more heavier than that. Sometimes our lives can get so discouraging. Sometimes our lives can be disheartening. Sometimes our lives can even feel oppressive. And we can start to believe in our hearts, maybe we don't even say it out loud, but we think inside that our lives have become beyond hope. And maybe we feel like our lives are even beyond repair. And we think, man, why should I even continue with what I'm doing? But God, through the resurrection, says to us, to each of us, I took care of the epic problem of death. I can take care of you.
Amen.
I can handle you. I can handle you. And so I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you today to calm your soul, to trust, to look at the heavens and let God be God in your life. The truth is, God is God and you are not. But Phil, I've really blown it. That's right. God is God and you are not. But I don't know how I'm going to get through this. It's okay. God is God and you are not. I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's all dark. The valley of the shadow of death. It's okay. God is God.
Amen.
And you are not. Yes. Psalm 50 verse 1. It says, the mighty one, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. Wow. I mean, I can barely get the deer to stop eating the plants in my yard, right? And God can summon the earth from the rising of the sun to the place where it sets. I mean, that's how epic and big God is. And that is what we see through the resurrection of Jesus. What is the message of God speaking to us? It's this: I can handle you.
Amen.
I can handle you. It's okay. I got you. Let's read on, because Peter continues this sermon. Verse 25, he quotes from David. He says, David says about him, I saw the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of light. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So here's Peter continuing his speech. And now he's quoting David in the book of Psalms. And then he goes on and he says, fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is among us here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. So he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you see and hear. Again, Peter continues. Message number one is God says, I can handle you. But the next thing that God says to us is, you can trust me. Amen. I can handle you, and you can trust me. I mean, what an amazing passage here. Again, as Peter is preaching in verse 27, he talks about how God did not abandon Jesus to the grave and to the realm of the dead. And it says he didn't even let his body see decay. So it's amazing when you look at this, God caring about all of the details of Jesus's death. You know, I think sometimes as Christians, and whether we say this out loud or whether we're just thinking this subconsciously, we kind of think we should, you know, we kind of deserve a trouble-free life, don't we? I mean, we kind of think, like, listen, I'm a Christian, I'm doing what's good. Come on, God, can you cut me some slack? And then problems come our way, or troubles or challenges, and we get surprised. And we go, God, why? Why, God? Why are you doing this? I'm a good person. I'm trying to follow you. Why is my life this difficult? And this is not an uncommon way to think. In fact, read the Psalms. There are a lot of Psalms dedicated to the writers wrestling with, why are you doing this to me, God? Why are you letting this happen to me? But the truth is, God has never promised that he would prevent us from having pain and difficulty in our life. He never promised that. He only promises that he'll guide you through it. And that's why he says, you can trust me. It may not look the way you think it should look. It may not feel the way you think it should feel. It may even seem, when you do the math and the trajectory of your life or your situation, it's nothing but doom and gloom. But God says, but you can trust me. I raised Jesus back to life from the dead, so you can trust me. I will take care of you. I mean, even Jesus had to experience this. Jesus in the garden, remember the story, praying, God, please, I don't want to die. Very honestly, very humbly. But God did not remove the death from Jesus. He just guided him through it to an incredibly victorious side, the resurrection. Jesus still had to die. But God teaches us that God will take care of us. You can trust God. God does care about you. He does. 1 Peter chapter 5. Verses 6 and 7, it says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. And it says, cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Amen. That's 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. God says, he says, I can handle you, and you can trust me. Let's read on. This sermon closes out. Peter's wrapping it up here in verse 34, back in Acts chapter 2. It says, for David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Then here's how Peter closes out his sermon. He goes, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God, who has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who far off, even in Parsippany, New Jersey, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. I mean, talk about like having to postpone your lunch plans. Like 3,000 people are going to get baptized after church. All right. Well, you know, maybe we'll work on our dinner plans instead. This is an amazing story. And again, the message of the resurrection continues. Jesus, God says through the resurrection, one, I can handle you. I can take care of you. Two, you can trust me. And then he also says, so let's go change your life. Let's change your life. So here Peter again is explaining to them that Jesus, the one that God has made Lord and Christ, you crucified him. I mean, that's a pretty powerful message. He's looking at the crowd of people and saying, this Jesus who's from God, you killed him. All right, now let's all stand and sing. Right? I mean, that's a very, not really, we're not standing and singing yet, but that's kind of how he ends his sermon. I mean, a very powerful sermon. God has made it official. Jesus is Lord and Christ. And then Peter is calling them to decide. It's now time for them to take a leap of faith. And here's the thing about the resurrection. The resurrection isn't just an event, isn't just a message. It's not just biblical theory, but it's a call to leap. It's a call to you and to me to leap, to step out, to take a leap of faith. And in this story, 3,000 people did. 3,000 people would end up taking that leap. And that was the beginning of the church of which we are a part of today. And it's amazing when you think about that, that the people responsible for the death of Jesus became the first people to become Christians. I mean, that's a lot of hope for me and you. I mean, I know sometimes we have bad days, but we weren't those people. We didn't do that. And they were welcomed in. How about you and me? We are welcomed in. God is calling us to take a leap of faith. There's hope for me. There's hope for you. Not just for you to become a Christian, but for you to stay a Christian. God says, let me help you change you. God wants to help us. Some people don't want help. I understand that. I was at the recycling center in my town not long ago. They have an area where you can throw all your recyclables, your plastics and cardboards and papers. And I, you know, usually we put it on the street, but, you know, I had a lot of extra. So I drove over and people drive up and they open their trunk and they throw stuff in. And I was throwing all my stuff in. There was a little old lady with her car trunk open. And she was carrying stuff. And after I got done, I saw her and I said, hey, you know, can I help you? She goes, no. I don't need help. And I said, you know, are you sure? I see you have a lot of stuff there. And she's like, no. And then I said, okay. And as I walked by her trunk, I saw in the back of her trunk, I'm not kidding you, what looked like a long cylindrical, tall thing wrapped up. And I was like, you sure you don't need help with that? I said, that looks like you got a body in there. And I'm just joking, right? She looks at me and goes, I told you, I don't need help. I was like, all the alarms went off. And I was like, all right, this is a, yeah, I'm a, all right. I did just move to New Jersey. So I'm like, all right, this is how it works around here. All right. This is where we put our bodies. Okay, I did not know. Sometimes people, I'm just saying, let's not be like that, all right? Well, A, let's not be like that. Let's not be discarding bodies. But B, let's not be people who are resistant to God's help in our life. We need God. We've been studying this out on our Wednesday classes, how we need God. Jesus said, apart from God, we are not something. Or not minimal, we are nothing. We need God. And God, through the resurrection, is trying to tell us how much he wants to help us, how much he wants to save us. And it's not just an initial salvation. It's not just becoming a Christian. It's staying a Christian. So don't hide. Come into the light. Dive in. The water's great. God is offering through the resurrection to take care of you, to help you to change your life, to get rid of those things that you hate and get and move on and become more godly and more spiritual. Amen. So don't run. Don't resist.
Amen.
Let God, listen to him. Let God be God. He wants to help. You know, the resurrection again, it's not just an event, but it's a resounding message. It's God powerfully trying to tell us, I can handle you. You can trust me. And so let's change your life. God is seeking you. He's offering hope. Will you respond? Thank you. We're going to close out with one more song. So let's stand up and we'll sing. Thank you. Amen.